brethren. It was such a nice drive over here this morning. I'm so ready to have the green back in my yard, have the buds in the trees turn into leaves. With the days of unleavened bread winding down, the Sabbath, this Sabbath, it sometimes goes unnoticed. You know, we're being basically bookended by two holy days where three congregations are getting together, large numbers with sometimes activities, and this Sabbath is just in here, kind of filling the space for our Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, leading up to this high day, so it doesn't get a lot of notice. But you know, this Sabbath, it holds a very, this Sabbath, this year, holds a very important place in determining our next high holy day. Holy day and that's been structured by God, part of God's plan, with a purpose and a specific manner that He teaches us. And you know, Pentecost is a unique holy day in God's plan in that it doesn't have a fixed date. It can move in terms of which week it is observed in either May or June. If you would turn with me to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 23, and let's look at this Old Testament example to help us to discern this count that I'm talking about. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23:15, but actually we can go back up to verse 9. This is, of course, the Old Testament observance. It's a little different now. Christ came, He gave us new instructions, but this Old Testament example gives us that information to help us to discern another vital aspect of God's holy day plan. In verse 9 it says, "And the Lord Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come to the land which I give to you and reap the harvest, then you shall bring in a sheaf of the first fruits for your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. It's a grain offering, shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be wine 1/4 of a hin. You shall neither eat bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until that same day that you have brought in the offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." Now, of course, all this has already happened. And then in verse 15, it says, "And you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought in the sheaf for the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed." That's this Sabbath today. It says, "Then count 50 days after the 7th Sabbath, and you shall offer a new offering to the Lord." So we're looking at 7 cycles, starting tomorrow to the Sabbath, 7 times. And then the 50th day, the next day, will be that Sunday. It's always on a Sunday, but it's not always the same date. And then most importantly, in Leviticus 23, verse 21, it says, "And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it, and it shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." So just as those scriptures earlier I read talking about what they did then for the Passover, it's telling us that it's forever. And Christ, of course, gave us the new example. We do it the way He's taught us now. It's forever, along with the count that I'm talking about here. Now, there is an exception, and I'm not sure that exception is the right word, because there are those instances. I think the last time it happened was in 08. Previous to that was 05, and I believe 97. But there has been dates over the past decade and a half where the first day of the Days of Unleavened Bread falls on a Sunday. Well, in that case, just as we read in Leviticus, it tells us that count is in the days of unleavened bread. And there's actually an example of this occurring in the book of Joshua. If you would, turn with me to Joshua 5. Now, I'm breaking this down. I'm trying to give you a way to remember it. I want you to know that on the church's website, if you go to resources, you can click down to where it says Pentecost. And on the website, there's literally, I believe there's 20, 21, 22 pages written on the research that was done gathering this information, because there was a time previous in the church in the before the 70s, 60s previous that it was kept on Monday. But there have been studies, and it is available, so if you'd like to go there at some point in time and look at that, it's really an interesting study. But what I'm trying to do today is give you the information that will, I'm squeezing it down, so it's a good way for you to remember how that count is to be begun. In Joshua 5 and verse 10, this is a similar situation to what I just read. It's this time of the year. It says, "Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight at the plains of Jericho, and they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day." So both occurrences happened on this particular day, where I talked about the way sheep being last week. Well, in this particular circumstance, it's on the same day, and that would be the first day of unleavened bread. That would be on a Sunday. Now, we have to remember what I talked about in Leviticus, and also I wanted to look at something that Mr. Dowd wrote in that Counting Pentecost study sheet on the website. He said, "God instructed Israel to count 50 days from the days of unleavened bread to determine when to keep the Passover." So it's a specific notion for us to use that the count is in the days of unleavened bread. So for this particular purpose, and there'll be times in the future, that you begin on Sunday, it is the Sunday within unleavened bread. So on that Sunday, on those particular dates, that is where that count would begin. You would do a 7 cycles, and then 50 would be the one day. So it's always on a Sunday, but that's why it is a count day. It's not a day that has a date. There was an instance in our past, well, in our world's past, the Jewish people in the first century A.D., and I want to read this from Mr. Dowd's paper also. It says, "During the first century A.D., the Pharisees gained complete control of the Jewish religious observances. They figured Pentecost, beginning with the day after the first annual Sabbath, the first day of unleavened bread. Is this what generations before Pharisees took control? Is this what God instructed? Preserved in a book called the Mishnah is recorded how Pentecost had been counted from generation to generation before the Pharisees took control. How Jews count Pentecost now is not always how it had been done, or should be. The Jews count from the first high day of the days of unleavened bread, rather from the Sabbath in the days of unleavened bread. If Pentecost was to be counted from the first high Sabbath of the days of unleavened bread, what would be the point in counting the days? You see, if it was done the way the Pharisees had changed it, then you could just say Pentecost is on Sivan 7 for that year. It would be a date. It would be a date that would be given. Today, as we're instructed by the Bible, it says we count. And also in the doctrinal paper, I want to read this little section. It says, "We have biblical evidence to support the practice of counting for Pentecost. Leviticus 23:14 prohibits eating any of the spring harvest until the offering of the wave sheaf. In Joshua 5:11 and 12, we find that the Israelites did eat of the spring harvest on the day after the Passover. The original King James translation, and if you have this translation, you can just put an X through this word. It says the word old before corn. That word was added. The word old is not in the original Hebrew. However, according to the Sadducees, it would be forbidden to eat of the spring harvest on the first holy day of the festival of unleavened bread, since the wave sheaf offering could never take place on that day according to their system of counting Pentecost. There is no need to add a word which isn't in the original Hebrew. The scenario in Joshua 5:11-12 can be understood as taking place in a year when the 14th of Abib was a weekly Sabbath. Thus, the first day of unleavened bread, as I said just a moment ago, it fell on Sunday. And Omer was waived on the day, allowing the Israelites to eat of the new produce of the land. So I guess what I would like for you to remember in this study, and believe me, be my guest to go and look at that paper. It's interesting, but it also repeats a lot of things as it goes through, but it was thorough, and it does give you a good, clean understanding, is that, as God told us, the count is in the days of unleavened bread, from the days of unleavened bread. So if it begins on a Monday, that seventh day would be on a Saturday. So there would be no Sunday other than the one that you begin with. So that's where you would begin your count. On that Sunday, the count begins, the cycles of seven begin, because it's in the days of unleavened bread. In conclusion, brethren, my purpose here wasn't to remove our focus from the days of unleavened bread. In fact, it's to the contrary. It was to better tie together these spring holy days, because this segment of God's plan, He designed this segment specifically for us. He designed them specifically for us, the called out ones, the first fruits of God's people.